Hello everyone and welcome back to the MTG Novels Project. The MTG Novels Project is available both on YouTube and as a podcast version. Check the description for more details. A legal note, this is an unofficial audiobook with original content belonging to Wizards of the Coast. This content is covered under the 2017 Wizards of the Coast fan content policy. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we continue with Chapter 16 of Planeswalker by Lynn Abbey. Xantcha watched Kenyadurn carry Sasina through one of the many open doorways and made sure she'd remembered which one before rising to her feet. Speed, she decided, mattered. The palace didn't like her, and especially didn't like when she moved quickly. Slow, gliding movements, as if she were crossing a frozen pond, offended at least. She made steady progress from the porch through the door down a majestic corridor. There's no one to stop or question her, at least no one that Xantcha could see, which was not to say that she didn't believe that her every step wasn't scrutinized. The corridor ended in a chamber of breathtaking beauty. Unlike the rest of the palace, which seemed to be made from crystal and stone, this inner chamber was a place of life and growth. A maze of columns that may have been trees, all graceful but asymmetrical and entrancing, hid the walls. Each tree or column was taller than her eye could measure. Xantcha lost her thoughts in the overhanging tangle of green gold branches and the music, which was no longer a stern interplay of the wind and light, but the more powerful sounds of water and the bright feathered birds as she glinced amongst the high branches. She was startled witness when someone grabbed her from behind. Xantcha, I did not know you still lived. Urza! They never had been much for backslapping embraces or other shows of affection, but any tradition needed its exception, and Urza was more animated, more alive, than Xantcha could remember him. His hands were warm and supple on her shoulders. They banished the lethargy that plagued him since they first awakened, and ended in the numbness in her guttural cyst. "Let me look at you," he said, straightening his arms. His eyes glittered, but only with the reflections from Sarah's palace. A bit worn and dirty at the edges, Urza wrinkled as he tightened his fingers, but still the same Xantcha. There was a faintest hint of the question in his statement. The sense that they were being watched hadn't faded from the numberless and lethargy. If anything, Xantcha was more aware than ever that she was in a strange, perhaps hostile surroundings. And stubborn and suspicious as ever, Xantcha replied with a wink of her own. "We will talk, child. There's much to talk about. But first, you must meet our host." His arm urged him to walk beside her. "I did once already," Xantcha slipped free and into one of the many, many other languages they both knew. But if they were back to child, then she was going to be very stubborn and twice as suspicious. Lowering her voice, she added, "Sarah sent me to die, Urza, and sent one of her own to die with me. That's why he didn't know I was alive." "We will talk, child," Urza repeated in Sarah's language. "This is not a good time to have a tantrum." She switched to another language. "I'm not a child, and I'm not having a tantrum, and you know it." Urza could put thoughts in Xantcha's head with only a little more discomfort than he removed them. "Yes, I know, and I'll ask Sayora why we're misled. I'm sure the answer will amuse us both, but for now, you are safe with me, and it will be better all around if you behave graciously." Xantcha replied with a thought of her own. "Graciously be damned. Sarah misled you. She lied." But Xantcha couldn't put a thought in Urza's mind. Her indignation went unshared. Urza walked away and faced with a choice between keeping up with him or staying by herself. She caught up, as he'd almost certainly known she would. He said the chamber was as known as Sayer's aviary, and that she had seldom left it when she created her floating realm. "Then you know this isn't a natural world," Xantcha asked, still refusing to speak Sayer's language. "Yes," Urza replied, ignoring her change of language. "Does it remind you of my home as much as it reminds me?" She was careful not to speak the word Phyrexian. "There are no abominations here. The angel's wings are no more a part of them than your sister's part of you. Sir's realm is slow and not without its flaws, but it is a living, natural place. For you, I haven't gotten to eat since I got here, and that's not natural for me. She has paid a price for her creation, and I'll be gracious. Ursa took Zancha's hand as they wound round her around an organic column. A narrow spire stairway opened in front of them. Zancha looked up and up and up. There's another way. We are guests. Zancha began climbing. Zancha fell in behind him and into a kind of trance. The spiral was a tight one, and each step a bit different in height and width than its neighbors. An odd sort of perfection that makes each one unique. Zancha thought when she dared to think. Each step required concentration lest she'd lose her balance and tumble to the floor, which, through the tangled branches around them, had come to look like a twinkling stars in the warm, humid night. Urza surged ahead of them, but a hand awaited at the top of the stairway. Not Urza. Kenyadurn. She recognized him by his stained robe. She asked me to wait until you were here. Zancha was breathing hard, but Urza's embrace had revitalized her. She did not need anybody's help to follow the angel along a suspended walkway to somewhere more intimate chamber than any she'd seen in the palace. It was only 10 or 20 times the size of a room that it needed to be. Urza was there already, talking with a woman who only could be the Lady Sarah herself. Having seen angels, archangels, and Sasina, Zancha had expected a tall, slender, and remote woman, but Sarah had walked through any male man-made village without attacking a second glance. Her face, though present, was plain, and she had the sturdy silhouette of a woman who'd borne children and done many a hard day's work. She was one of the two light sources in the chamber, surrounded by a gently flickering white nimbus. If she had created this well, as Urza said, then like him, she could change her appearance to suit her whims. The chamber's other light source was incomprehensible at first. A jumble of golden light and angular crystals bound together with two overlapping spheres. An artifact, certainly. Sancha's dodge instance had never deserted her, and beautiful, but its purpose, except as a life source, eluded her. Please, Kendor offered her hand again. She is very weak, and she must be alone when the cocoon is closed, and there is no reason to close it. Be gracious, Urza had said, so Sancha let the angel have her hand. Before she could object, he'd swept her up in both arms and carried her into the crystal lights. The wingless sisters of Sarah were perhaps accustomed to being swooped about around the palace, but Zancha had rarely felt as helpless or as graceful to have her own feet under her once they'd reached a tiny enclosure where the spheres met. Cocoon, Kenadurn had called it, and that was a good word as any, for the vaguely egg-shaped compartment in which Sasina lay, her stained gown was gone, replaced by a shining quilt. But the ages had seared her face and hair. Her eyes were terrible, frightened and frightful. Sasina was blind. At least Zancha hoped Sasina was blind. Zancha? Sasina's voice was a pain-racked whisper. Her breathing was a shower and liquid. Zancha had seen worse, done worse. Thought few in her life had seemed more difficult than reaching out to touch the quilted bandage lump that had been Sasina's hand. I'm here. We made it. You were right. Difficult, but right. Sasina tried to smile. Pain defeated her. We will name our child for you. Be gracious, that was easy. I'm honored. Optimism came harder. I'll show her, or him, how to be difficult. Another failed smile on Sasina's swollen lips and agonized attempts to shake her head. You will go outside where you belong. Kenadurn and I will remember you. With the sound of his name, Kenadurn came closer. His wings were soft plumes rather than feathers. He rested his hand on Zancha's shoulders. A shiver ran down Zancha's spine, reminding her that, unlike Sarah, the Ineffable had decreed that Phyrexians would not be born, and she was neither a man nor woman. Zancha couldn't know if Kenadurn were a true paragon of anything useful, but she believed that he was looking for his beloved, and she envied Sasina as she'd never envied anyone before. "We must close the cocoon," Kenadurn whispered, urging her to retreat. Better call it a coffin. Some hearts are beyond even Urza's healing talents, and Sasina would be among them. It wasn't just her skin that had been charred and blistered. Sasina had breathed fire, and her insides were burnt as well. Zancha took a backward step. Goodbye, friend. Sasina whispered. Goodbye, friend. The Aber spirit had begun to descend. Sasina might be blind, but the cocoon wasn't silent. Surely she knew it was closing around her. She met her end without a whisper. Until you rise again, Kenadern added. A euphemism, if ever. Zanja had heard one. Though Sasina managed a trembling smile just before the sphere's block Zanja's view, there was a click, the gold knight intensified through her feet. Zanja felt the whir of a distant engine. She thought of the fane of flesh, and a vast where discarded flesh was rendered and newts were decanted. You didn't say goodbye, she said to Kenadern. Sasina will rise again. The lady does not offer her cocoon to everyone. When she does, it never fails. He swept Sancha up again. Before she could protest, and brought her down to Urza and Sarah, whose conversation died as they approached. Sasina is a special child to me, Sarah said before Sancha's feet were on the floor. I didn't know what had become of her. I'm grateful that you showed us where she was, even though I'm not grateful for your methods. The lady had Urza's voice, the voice of someone who treated everyone as children, someone whom mortals might mistake for a god. Sancha had never been mortal, never believed in gods, and she used up all her graciousness. Cecilia didn't believe in mistakes. She never lost faith in you. All the time I forget her on that unforgotten floating island, she was hoping that you or Kenadern would rescue her before the Archangels came to kill her. If that was what you call the Aegis off, then once it comes to rescuing your special children, you cut very close to the edge. Urza was appalled. His glowing black eyes were dark. Kenadern stared at his sandaled feet. Things here aren't as perfect as she believed they were. You're Phyrexian, are you not? Sarah asked, a short tone of accusation. Urza's displeasure rumbled through the empty part of Zancha's mind. The important part, the part she kept for herself, since Geex had taught her to build mental walls, remained unbowed. You know I am. Your leave, my lady, Kendron interrupted. My love is in your hands now. There's no need for me to stay. Sarah dipped her chin. Kenadern was in the air before she raised it again. There's only three of them left in the Branch Fame Chamber, a man and a woman, with the powers of a god, and a Phyrexian newt. Well, Zancha was used to being overmatched. There's no need for this, Zancha, Urza attempted to impose. I think Lady Sarah will conclude that there is nothing to be certain imperfections in our condition here. Your arrival was someone suspected, Sarah began. Zancha cut it off. That reminds me, how did we get here? Last thing I remember is beating on the shell of this Phyrexian turtle. I destroyed that abomination, and all the others, Urza answered quietly. But my enemies were working, watching from the other places. And before I could escape, they sent through reinforcements. It threatened to become the force of your battle all over again. So I decided to retreat. I walked away, grabbing you as the left. But you're badly injured, and my grasp was not firm. I sensed the chasm to Phyrexia, of course. It is always there. But I sensed another too. I threw myself across it. It was a terrible pass, Zancha. I lost you. I might have survived myself if Lady Sarah had not found me and put me inside that cocoon you just saw. Such a marvelous artifact. If there is life, any life at all, the cocoon will sustain and nurture it until the whole is healed. I am well again, Zancha. Well and whole, as not been since I left Phyrexia. Since before Phyrexia. Since I met you. The principle is ingenious. To make her plain, Sarah has treated time itself as a liquid, as a stream where water flows at a different speed. Zancha swallowed hard. It didn't help. She stopped listening to Urza ramble about the wonders of Sarah's cocoon. His recounting of their offense was laced with simplifications that were no better than lies. So I decided to retreat, and I walked away. Didn't actually describe what she remembered of Urza's Phyrexian invasion, and was probably no better at describing how the skirmish with the Turtle Avengers ended, or how they came to Sanger's realm. But Urza remembered what he had wanted to remember, and forgot the rest. He had rescued her from the turtles. Never mind asking if he'd cared about anything from the beginning about keeping her away from Phyrexian scrutiny. His grasp might have not been firm. He might have lost her by accident. And he had been ill since Phyrexia, but not before. Zancha was relieved to see Urza looking vigorous again. Pleased to see him talking and moving in a mortal way. But she could not escape the implication of those four words. Since I met you. They echoed ominously in her own thoughts. Had Urza decided something? Perhaps everything was her fault? that warm greeting in the lower halls had been less relief or enthusiasm than guilt. Sansha glanced at Sarah, wondering what role she had played. Romance? That seemed unlike Urza. Unnecessary, too, but she could distract him with the cocoon. After she'd gotten rid of Urza's annoying Phyrexian companion? You know, you want to know what I did when you were found? Sarah asked, an indication that she was sensitive to thought and perhaps did not find Zancha's mind as empty as Urza did. I know what you did. Why did you do it? And what have I done to you or your perfect realm? All things. Natural artifact. A creator on a single essence. Your essence is black mana. When I created my plane, I created around white mana, because the underlying essence plays a pivotal role in determining the character of a thing. White matter is serene, harmonic. It has the constancy that allows my plane to be a safe haven I desired. Black mana is discord, suspicion, and darkness. There's black mana here. It is not possible to eliminate entirely, but it's only a small remainder that balances the rest. I told you it's not so simple, Urza interrupted their host. Later, Sarah turned away from all that was real to make this place. She created out of sheer will, but it seems there is a flaw, a fallacy, in Milford creation. Outside the multiverse, which is unbound and balanced, simply is all planes balanced among all the essences. Inside, when a plane is created by a single act of will, balance is impossible. One essence must dominate, and another becomes the odd fellow. I knew this place reminded me of Phyrexia, momentarily forgetting everything else. Sansha savored the satisfaction of solving a sorry puzzle. The Peter piece said the ineffable made Phyrexia. I thought they meant that we all answered to him, that were part of his plan. But it's more than that. The ineffable created Phyrexia, if nothing at all before he made it. Precisely, Urza agreed. I'd reached the same conclusion. A created plane, cut off from the rest of the multiverse by an unfathomable chasm. No wonder it was so hard to find, but entirely imbalanced. Think of it, Sansha. Lady Sarah retreats to her cocoon where she adds her will to the plane's flux, constantly keeping it almost in balance, but never quite, never for long. It always slips away. She prunes it to keep it small. Small has never been part of the ineffable's plan. Excuse me? Sarah said sternly in her language, which Sansha neither Urza nor Sansha had begun using. The air in Sansha's lungs became so heavy she couldn't speak, and Urza seemed to be at loss for words. As I was saying, the lady's tone implied she tolerated no more interruptions, the only black mana here is because it cannot be eliminated. Nothing here has black mana as its underlying essence. Such a thing, natural artifact, would disrupt everything around it. When the Archangels found you and Urza both near death and unable to speak for yourself, I determined that you had swallowed a piece of him. You were clinging to him, and your essence is black, was black. And they have standing orders. Safe havens cannot be extended to anything from an underlying black man essence. Because you had a piece of him, we did not know then if it was a vital piece. I sent you away, put you in quarantine while my cocoon restored Urza. His underlying essence is white mana, the same as ours. There was no risk. The cocoon purged him of a black mana source. The ineffable, Sansha thought. The ineffable had a place in the spark of Urza's skull, as surely as Gist had one in hers, all those centuries. She had nothing, though, because Sarah would object, and because she wanted to hear Urza's version of events before proposing her own. If black mana was suspicion, then Urza had become black mana incarnate. It was not a vital piece, of course, Sir continued. Urza explained how he'd enabled you to survive the journey between planes when he emerged from the cocoon. But by then what? Sansha asked silently, eager to hear how Sarah would wriggle free of the truth. The lady hesitated and Urza plunged into silence. By then her plane needed tended. She needed tending. Your plans alone had not been enough to disrupt the balance more than it had ever been disrupted. You were well and truly lost by then, and I had no idea that you survived at all. My grasp had been weak to begin with. I asked the elders here, and they said I'd be alone when Archangels brought me to this place. They lied, Sasha snapped, unable to stiffer her indignation. She wished Kenny and Durgan had not taken his leave. She'd like to have seen his face when he'd heard that remark. Misinformed, Urza prevaricated. I was alone. The Archangels separated us. took us in different directions. The sisterhood had no idea that I what I was talking about. They knew Urza. They sent Sasina to die with me. At least that was what Sasina had assumed. But there were other possibilities. Sarah said that he had decided what had to be done with her and Urza both. Sasina looked straight at Sarah. Someone sent Sasina to die with me. I cannot keep up with you, the lady complained. Either of you. You should hear yourselves. Switching languages every other phrase, every other word. You have been together too long. No one else could possibly understand you. She took Urza's hand. My friend, my offer stands. I will take her wherever you think best. But this is something for you to work out between yourselves. That piece of you she holds within her surely is a vital part of your memory, Urza. You should consider carefully before abandoning it. Sarah faded, walking somewhere else within her realm, leaving Urza and Zancha walking alone in the golden light from the cocoon. What offer, Urzan? Abandon it. Abandon me. But Urza was staring at the place where Sarah had stood. She was angry. I had no notion at all. She knew to have not have done that, Zancha. It was very ungracious of you to speak your mind in that way that Sarah couldn't understand. She doesn't understand that that the Phyrexians emptied your mind. I must find her and apologize. He started to fade as well. Urza, Zancha called back. Waste not, want not. You don't hear the words or their meanings. She said both of us. We were both speaking whatever words fit best. We do that. We've done it from the beginning. We've been to many places and seen too many things that no one else has seen. We are our own way of talking. We might as well be one mind with two bodies. No, that can't be, he insisted. Lady Sarah's a planeswalker. You aren't. She saw the same tragedy as I did on Dominaria. She made this place, this plane, as a memorial to what she'd lost. She understands me, Zancha. No one else understood me. I've been happy here with her. You wouldn't be happy in a world of your own making. The ineffable is happy. The ineffable understands you. Urza whirled around. Don't try to tempt me. That trap is sprung, Zancha. What trap? She retorted. By beneath the surface of her fears and suspicion had intensified. What offer, Urza? What happened to you when I was floating on that island? Changed your mind about me. Lady Sarah healed me. Her cocoon healed me of all the taint and curse that Phyrexia had laid on me since Mishra and I let them into Dominaria. He reached for her. Zancha eluded him. It's not your fault, Urza. No one is blaming you. Least of all me. The one you call the ineffable used you. You could not tempt me directly. So he made me tempt you to lead me to him. Oh, I knew you were dangerous. I know that since I rescued you. I knew you could never be completely trusted. But I thought I was strong enough, clever enough, to use you myself. Your ineffable has lost its power over me, Zancha. You are merely his tool, his arrow aimed at my heart. All these centuries that you are beside me, I have been obsessed with simple vengeance. I didn't see the larger pattern until you were gone. It is all Lady Sarah can do to keep her plane balanced. She knows that someday she will go tired and or will fail. She does not let it expand. Created planes fail. They cannot evolve. They dare not grow. They are doomed for the moment of its creation. I understand that now. Only planes endure Yogg. Don't. You're ineffable. Was exiled from some other plane before Dominaria. He thinks of Phyrexia now as a safe haven, as Sarah thinks of her realm. But as a place to build a conquering army. Twice he has tried to conquer Dominaria, and he will try again. I know it, and I have wasted all my time looking for Phyrexia, trying to conquer Phyrexia. I told you it couldn't be done. Yes, yes, you did. Your creator knew I would not believe you. He is mad, but he is also cunning and clever. That is why they emptied your mind. That is how they tempted me off the path. And if the ineffable was mad but cunning, what did that leave Urza? There is a truth and logical wound through Urza's argument. Phyrexia was the ineffable's creation as the world of floating islands is Sarah's creation. And if Phyrexia was the rallying point for the conquering army, if all had gone according to plan, Zancha would not have been part of that army at all, at least as the demon Gix had. conceived the army when the Edef bull slept. Sarah slept in her cocoon to keep her world alive. Had the Ineffable slept for the same reason? Was that why the priest warned the newt to never speak the Ineffable's name lest he be awakened? He woke him, as Ancha said, incredibly, it's interrupting Urza's diatribe, which had gone, which he herself questions. When you rode your dragon to Phyrexia, you must have awakened the Ineffable. No, Zancha, you will not lead me astray again. You know what must be done. Yawgmoth is a planeswalker, like Sarah and me. Only planeswalkers can create planes, and planeswalkers are born in natural worlds. You cannot walk. No Phyrexian can walk. So Yawgmoth was born on a natural plane and driven out. I will find that plan where Yawgmoth was born. And when I do, I will know his secrets and his willing weakness. I will find the records of those who cast him out. I will learn how they won their victory. I will find the tools that I need to build the artifacts that will keep Yawgmoth away from Dominaria and away from any other natural plane that he might uncover. That's reasonable, Zancha conceded. If he knew when the Edbuff Bull created Phyrexia. No, I have said too much already. You will have no thoughts of your own, Zancha. Whenever you think, whenever you say, comes from Yawgmoth. It is not your fault, but I dare you to listen to you. We must go our separate ways, you and I. Lady Sarah discussed this before you arrived. She is willing to take it to a natural plane. She knows. That's the offer she mentioned. I have not seen it, but she says it's a green plane with much water and many races. I think it must be like Dominaria of my youth. You will do well there, Zancha. Zancha was a breath short of sleepless, speechless. You can't mean that you can't look at me, Urza. I am what I am, what I always have been. What would I knew from me do forever on a single world? Never mind that it'd have to be her destiny to sleep on such a world. Urza reached for her and this time caught her. You've always done well for yourself. You trade, you travel, you learn all languages, and you scratch the garden in the dirt. When I rescued you, I never imagined we'd be together as long as we have. You never imagined anything else. Zancha, you don't imagine anything that Yawgmoth didn't put inside your skull. I will win your vengeance, trust me. You cannot climb into the lady's cocoon. Black magic is your underlying essence. The cocoon would destroy you, or you would destroy the cocoon. I'm sorry, but it has to be this way. You cannot just abandon me, not to Sarah. Who you talk to? Who else understands, truly understands? I will miss you, Zancha, more than you can imagine. You've been my ward against loneliness, and yes, even madness. You have a good heart, Zancha. Even Sarah admits that. She finds no fault with your heart. Heart. Zancha wiggled up from my embrace. Give you a knife. He had nothing but a ragged, dirty robe and a pair of sandals. Urza had a leather sheath slung by a belt. If it wasn't real, he couldn't make it real with a thought. Please, Urza, let me have your knife. Any knife. Zancha, don't be foolish. You're always happiest when we settle in one place. I'm not going to be foolish. I want to borrow your knife. I'll find someone else that's sharp. She eyed the cocoon's golden crystals, and Urza relented. The knife he handed her had a blade no longer than her longest finger, which would have been plenty long enough to slash her throat if she determined to bleed to death. But Zancha had never wanted to die. She wasn't fond of pain, whether or not there were other alternatives, but at the moment wasn't there. Zancha put a few paces beside them. Then with a steady hand, she plunged the knife into her flank, where she tucked her heart away. Her hand was shaking as she lengthened the incision. Urza tried to stop her. Panic gave her strength to reach inside. My heart, she said, offering the blood-stained amber. If you think I'm unworthy, if you think I belong to an Ineffable, crush it and I'll die. I swore I'd never betray you. I'd rather die than live knowing that you abandoned me. Zancha, Urza reached for the wound, which she could heal with a touch. She staggered back. Take it. If I am what I say I am, I don't want to live. If you won't kill me, then take me with you. That was chapter 16 of Planeswalker. Please like, subscribe, and follow on YouTube and your chosen podcast platform. Thanks for listening.